Yeah. Cash money, heroes, private jets, polish.
Welcome to Randomania. It's a podcast where we select a WrestleMania match
at random,
and then we talk about it. That's right, old wrestling.
And then older-ish kind of more wrestling. It's kind of not that old wrestling.
More wrestling.
Oldest wrestling. My name is Brad. Welcome back to another wonderful episode. Joining me, as always, my brother Matt. What's going on?
Good to see your face and hear your voice. I think I got a bad connection, so I don't know what the hell you just said, but it's good to see your face and hear your voice. Is that where we're at? All right. I might have to try to fix my internet while we're going here, but it's been a minute, and we got a twofer for you today. A twofer. A Vinnie Mac twofer.
Vinnie Mac twofer, what a draw. Like, I mean, I know he's had his share of matches, but we haven't picked one Jericho match yet, and we got two Vince matches this time. So let's just say that. I mean, there's... what matches did we have?
We got match number 387 from WrestleMania 38, Night 2, held on April 3rd, 2022 at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, in front of 65,653 fans. Keep yourself! Again, it is Mr. McMahon versus Pat McAfee, football player, yeah. Announcer, football ESPN player. Personality.
So when we drew this match, we knew it was a short one, a bit of a shit show. So we decided to pick a second match to watch so that we could have something to talk about. So what match did we get second?
Yeah, we go from one match that has literally no story and nobody cares about to the most historical story in the history of the company, perhaps. We got match number 258 from WrestleMania 26, held on March 28, 2010, from the University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, in front of 72,219. I'm not going to do the thing again. It is Mr. McMahon versus Bret the Hitman Hart. Incredible. All the history in the world behind that one.
Two matches that you would have never predicted before they had happened. You know, like, you weren't seeing either one of these coming, especially the second one. If we want to just go ahead, we're just going to split this episode in two. So we're going to start talking about the first match, which was the Pat McAfee versus Vince McMahon match. This is 2022. This is pretty much the last thing Vince McMahon does with the company, if I'm not, like, coming pretty close, right? No?
Oh, pretty close. Yeah, pretty close. I think he's kind of on again, off again for a second on, like, the board and things. But, yeah, really the last thing on air, maybe. I don't know if there was anything on air beyond this. But, I mean, it's like, yeah, I guess I don't know.
Well, here's what I remember, because I went to SummerSlam of 2022, and that was kind of the beginning of the Triple H era. Brought up Io Sky and brought up Dakota Kai and his guys from NXT, and sort of his storyline started to take over, wrapped up the Vince storylines, and had the Triple H era kind of ushered in at that SummerSlam. So that's why I remember, because I was there. But
so then, yeah, probably right. Yeah, I think, good job. Way to go, recent history guy. Yeah. I don't remember. I'm bad at that shit. So this whole thing kind of starts rolling because Vince McMahon is on the Pat McAfee show, March 3rd, 2022.
Yep, I remember watching it. I was very curious to see what he had to say in an interview such as this, especially with Pat McAfee's style. You know, he'll say whatever he wants. And so I thought this one might be fun. And it was. It was a good interview. It was very insightful. Yeah. We learned a lot. But at the end of that interview, Vince drops the knowledge that he's going to grant Mr. McAfee with his dream of a match at WrestleMania, the most stupendous WrestleMania of all time.
Nailed it. And then Pat McAfee is a SmackDown commentator. We got to remember that.
This is true. He is on TV all the time at this point. He has been SmackDown commentator for, probably a year or so. Hadn't it been 2021 he came around?
Maybe. Yeah, and then fairly steady. Missed some time for college football, but kind of comes in and out. But yeah, so like that next week on SmackDown, Vince McMahon names his opponent, and it is Austin Theory.
Austin Theory, A-Town Down himself, Vince McMahon's boy, the one that he like basically handed the money in the bank to. That was later this year, wasn't it? I don't know. But
I believe it was, so maybe that was the end of the Vince stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, so yeah, he gives the match to Austin Theory, right? So anyway, Austin Theory goes on to antagonize Pat McAfee on commentary over the next several weeks just to get him all pissed off, right? That's pretty much what I got the gist of.
Yeah, and we got to be a little careful here because Austin Theory, Pat McAfee does happen, so we could get that on a future episode. So we got to kind of skip that and say that that match happens.
Well, that's true. Well, I was sort of lumping them together. It's going to be a problem when we get this match later because we're going to have to talk about it.
It's okay. It doesn't exist without it. So, yeah, but Vince is not really doing much in the story. It's more Austin Theory and McAfee, right? Vince is not really on TV doing shit with him, is he?
Not at that point. There's a time I saw in the video package where Pat McAfee chases Austin Theory into the back after he did some dastardly shit, and he went into Mr. McMahon's office. So Pat McAfee kicked open the door, and Vince came out like, "Who do you think you are kicking open my door? You want me to take your WrestleMania match away and all this?" And Austin Theory's like, "Hey, hey, yeah, you know, taking selfies."
You can make that face and make that sound like I see him doing it. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
So that's relevant because it's Vince.
Yeah. So he's already gotten on his bad side at that point. So he wants to humiliate him now. So, yeah. I think that's kind of all for the build-up.
So let's just kind of jump ahead. Pat McAfee and Austin Theory, that match happens. That's it. Yeah. Vince is at ringside for that match. So Pat is in the ring.
Introduces Austin Theory, but anyway,
exactly. So like that. So he's out there because he was at ringside and did all that. And Pat McAfee's in the ring after that because he may or may not be celebrating. No spoilers. And he kind of calls out Vince.
Yeah, he's like basically get in here, I think. And Vince is like, you don't want any of this. And then he's kind of teases taking off the jacket. And then he puts it back on. Like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then he finally does.
That's a good little spot. I do like that little spot. That's fun. I like that because the crowd's like, oh,
yeah. And then he takes the tie off, and then he starts to do the shirt, and then he ends up ripping it off. And they're both wearing black tank tops, which I always laughed at.
Yeah.
So yeah, and he enters the ring, and there's a referee in there, and you can hear on commentary. Michael Cole saying, why is there a referee in the ring? Why is there a referee in the ring? Look, what's happening? Kind of thing.
Trying to get you to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
Let's say, no, the crowd is way into this shit. The crowd is going ape shit. They are way into this. They're loving every bit.
Absolutely. Yep, that's a very good point to mention here. They are losing it, because this is actually happening.
How old do you think Vince is here?
77.
Ooh, 76.
That was close. That was off the top of the dome, though.
That was pretty good off the top of the dome.
Yeah.
Not bad.
I really didn't know.
So referee comes in, but it's Byron Saxon and Michael Cole, by the way, on headset. I just want to bring that out.
I don't know who the
ref was. Dan Engler. Dan Engler's the ref. Referee.
Yeah.
Yeah, veteran ref Dan Engler. Three nails, Pat McAfee, right? Yeah.
Yeah, from behind, when these kind of they're sizing each other up, Theory knocks him down. That's when the bell ends up ringing, because he's already gotten the hit, and Vince is like, ha, 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 yeah. So, he proceeds to beat up Pat McAfee a lot, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think he, like, pulls him or beats him up, and then Vince has the football, and he punts a football into Pat McAfee's stomach.
That's the finish. So, there's a lot of, like, other stuff. So, well, because at one point he's down on the mat and Austin Theory grabs McAfee's ankles and nuts him on the post. Vince is doing stuff, whatever he could do. I don't even remember. I just watched it. Anyway, so he gets the football. And I love the fact when he was going to pretend to punt it into the crowd to the people. And he's like, no, you don't think I'm going to do that. You know, just playing with everybody. But he punts it into Pat McAfee's ribs instead. I thought it was pretty good, actually. It could have went worse. Could have went way worse.
He did at least kick the ball into him. He did kick the ball into him.
Yeah.
Stuck in the face. Pat McAfee, by the way, former NFL punter.
Yeah, should be noted.
That should be noted. NFL. That should be noted.
Yeah.
And Vince
And
McMahon
then
wins at 3 minutes and 45 seconds. And then they are celebrating like a motherfucker. Austin Theory's
Theory
music
jumps
hits.
In there.
And then his music hits for a second. And Vince jumps because like, it's supposed to be something. Well, then we know why, motherfucker, because.
Out comes the man, the fucking man, who comes out every time we have one of these shows, I guess. And comes out to
whoop Vince. The crowd is insane.
They are losing it. He's coming out to whoop Vince McMahon's ass. Stone Cold ET. Sorry.
Don't forget he had a match the previous night. His first match back was the night before.
So that was how I remembered what night of WrestleMania this was, because I was like, I'm certain it's not night one. Anyway.
Yep.
So, yeah, he comes out, double knee brace, Austin 316 shirt, motherfucking him all the way to the ring, gets in and gets some beers.
Motherfuck him all the way to the ring, too. That's so good. Well, first, I think now it's like the greatest dichotomy of stunners in the history of stunners. Just a real bouncy, real good one, and then the worse than Linda McMahon stunner, which I didn't think was possible. Vince takes it, and Austin's just laughing.
It is the best and worst stunners ever, and they're back to back. It's pretty funny because Austin Theory, right? He can just jump, dead jump.
Boing.
17
he's
feet.
He's a Scott Hall up, but he can jump higher, so he was really up there.
He went full Scott Hall and then went full Rock after with the Tongans.
After.
So he did it all. Shout out Austin Theory and you were selling. Yeah, then like you said, Vince, so they're drinking the beers. He kicks them. Vince basically falls over into the ropes while he's trying to grab him for the stunner. Yeah, he goes to drop down like he does and just crumples, the worst stunner of all time. Congratulations. Austin gets
he
up
is 76
laughing his ass
years
off.
Old. Austin's laughing his ass off. He is 76 years old. If the ropes weren't there, he'd have fell right over.
Yeah, for sure. So, anyway, I enjoyed Austin laughing his ass off, getting the beers tossed to him, drinking the beers, giving the crowd what they came to see, crowd service, sending him home happy. Then he notices Pat McAfee standing outside of the ring, and so he invites him in. He says, come on and drink some beers. So he gets four beers in there, gets two to Pat, says, you hit that corner, I'll hit this corner. They go up, and they each drink the two beers. He comes down, and wham! Stunner. So he spits the beer in the air like Triple H or somebody else did that too.
Yeah, Triple H I think of,
And down he goes. Everyone cheers. More beers, and then even more beers. He just keeps chugging beers. He probably had about
20. All the Austin beer. It's the whatever it is that he had, the IPA, Broken Skull IPA in the white can. So they're all like 16ers too. Or 20 boys. Yeah, they're all big boys.
Yeah. They're the tall boy 16ers. He's dumping them out. He's cleaning them out. He's getting the foam, at least. He's drenched. He goes to leave. It's great. They cut to a very quick shot of Pat McAfee laying up against the announce table, finishing one of the beers on his leg as he's knocked out.
Iconic
it's so
shot.
Funny.
Iconic shot.
It's the best.
Iconic
yes,
shot.
The best thing of the whole thing.
Iconic
is that little
shot.
5 second shot.
So here's this is hard for me, right? Because like, oh, and I did make a note, so I must have looked into it when I watched this match like a month ago. Because we've been ready, but been busy. Vince's last appearance.
Yeah. So there,
so
you,
there
go.
You go. Yeah, confirmed. This is hard to rate because like it is entertaining as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it is Vince McMahon, who I don't want to give any flowers to in the moment. But it's entertaining as shit. But it's not a match. But it is a match. It's on the record. It's in the Wikipedia. There's a pinfall. It's a fucking match. So it's on my list, and my list is the only one that matters.
Is the bell to bell? So.
So what do I do? What do we do?
I don't know. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
All right.
I think it's your turn anyway.
I'm gonna give it a 2. It was a good time.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a good time. On the old Watcher meter, it's like a 2 out of 5. And on the HPK meter, it's on a 2 out of 5. It's the same. Do you need to see it? No. Do you want to see a bunch of people have a good time? You're probably going to smile when you watch it? Yeah. Watch this. Sure. Do you need to see it for any sort of canon reason or any, like, anything? No. If you're a Pat McAfee fan, yeah, check this out. It's pretty fun. If you haven't seen this, check it out. Because it's a fun moment. If you're an Austin fan, it's a great moment. I don't know if you're a Vince fan. What's wrong with you? 2.
It is pretty fun. Like, it's memorable. I remember liking it when it was live, being like, that was a fun segment. You know what I mean? Like, okay, I get it. We need to let me up, Stu, and they've been good at that in this little era. I think it was a little much. I think it was a little much because between the whole, I mean, the whole from entrance to entrance, from the start of the theory match to the end of this, it's like 25 minutes. It's so much gaga.
I know.
You
I
know what I
know.
mean? You know, give that match to like, you know, Bailey or something. You know what I mean? Like put fucking Ludwig Kaiser on the card. I don't know. But one and a half. Maybe a one. I'm going one. I have to go one.
One.
Because I never
Yeah,
needed to
which
watch
is.
I did never need to watch this again after I watched it. But I'm not disappointed that I didn't have to watch it again. That it was totally fine. Like,
Yeah.
but yeah, everything you said, just I'm just giving it lower.
Yeah, my two's probably too high, but whatever. It doesn't really matter.
I mean, no,
So,
it's your opinion, dude. You
yeah,
know
I
what I mean?
enjoyed it. It was fun.
I'm closer to
It
one and a
was,
half than I am probably one, but I'm just gonna stick at one. Anyway.
Anyway, that's fine. So I want to
Wait, are you gonna play
congratulate.
Vince's music?
Yeah, I think so. I'm gonna congratulate Vince McMahon. Well, you know what? Yeah, Vince McMahon. It was just Mr. McMahon. Congratulate Mr. McMahon. It's the character, right? On winning against Pat McAfee at WrestleMania 38. Unfortunately, though, Pat McAfee.
Fire.
Welcome back to WrestleMania. It's a podcast where I don't know. It's sort of like Waluigi. It's a podcast where we select two WrestleMania matches at random, and then we
Yeah, we
talk about it.
randomly do it. We randomly pick two.
We picked one and we picked another. So the second match we had to talk about was from 2010. Right smack dab in the darkest of my darkest times of wrestling watching. I promise you. I promise you. No, I shouldn't say that. Because I may have heard Bret Hart was going to be on Raw and tuned in. To be fair. I may have. Or at least tried to. Because, or something. Or maybe saw a clip. Because Bret Hart's my guy. Right? Bret Hart's my dude. When he's finally coming back after 12 years. That is a big deal to me. So I want to know what he has to say. What they're going to do. Etc. What say you?
So I was watching. I remember seeing the Bret Hart come back on Raw. I remember seeing that because that was also the same night that TNA had their first Monday Night Show. That's what they countered with, I think. I think that was the counter
Wow.
programming. It was like January, right? I think I have
Yeah.
a date. Yeah,
January
January
4th.
4th. Yeah, which I believe was the first TNA show on Monday Night Live with Hogan and a bunch of people there. So this was the counter programming, and it worked because I watched Raw. So there you go. But let's we should. I mean, this is he was gone for 13 years.
Yeah.
By the way, this is a no holds barred match. We'll have to talk about that. But he was gone for 13 years, and I think we should probably talk about that.
Yeah, we should mention that. So Bret the Hitman Hart was a major player, superstar with the WWE in the 90s. He was their world champion on multiple occasions, I believe 5 times. Some of them were short, but that's whatever. He was pretty much the biggest star in the company until he left in 1997. But the way he left was a great controversy known as the Montreal Screwjob, where the ending was finished prematurely by Vince McMahon, that you would say was not the correct ending of the match that no one expected, and then Bret Hart was gone, left for a rival company, World Championship Wrestling. Anyway, so it's a whole thing. There's documentaries everywhere. It's one of the most crazy and most talked about nights in wrestling history, but it was a very much dramatic ending to a very storied career. career with the WWF. We thought he'd be there forever. Remember, a year or prior, he signed a 20-year lifetime contract. He'll be here forever. What happened with that? Anyway.
But to a year later, so, Vince wants out of the contract.
Yeah.
Because he can't afford to pay him.
Yeah, and he wanted to go more extreme, and he didn't think that was going to happen with Bret Hart wasn't going to fit with this new attitude, he thought. You know, he wanted to be like ECW, so maybe he thought he could work, but probably didn't. So he wanted out of that contract, and so anyway, they did it. And yeah, Bret ended up getting hosed there.
Bret screwed Bret.
Yeah, and Bret. He mentions that a lot during the build-up to the match. And
Bret.
Yeah. Also, there's a working theory on the internet. I don't know if you're with me on this one, that the Montreal Screwjob was a work.
It's all a work. Ask Scott Hall. Wouldn't it be He's great? Dead now. But Scott Hall would tell you, it's a work.
Come on,
it's
now.
It's a work.
It's a perfect work. It's a perfect work.
They know they're on camera and on microphone. Because they're filming with shadows.
Correct. Is there video of Vince McMahon getting punched by Bret the Hitman Hart?
Nope.
Nope, there's not. So there you go. They did it in the shower when there's no one was around.
So yeah, the only people in the room were Vince, Bret, Pat, Shane, Taker.
Yep. And they have said it was, but yeah, how convenient, right? And so when Vince when he's walking down the hallway selling the punch, he's all walking all woozy. I was like, this is wrestling. So there is a part of me that agrees with Scott Hall that it was a work, but it's greatest work of all time then, because nobody believes it. Although there were still people till recently that believed that the Big Show accidentally stepped through that table in that tables match when he clearly did it on purpose. So people are stupid. So don't forget that. But
people are stupid. I mean, here's the thing, right? It's either all a work or none of it is.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I say that all the time. You got to think about that. It's either all a work or none of it is.
Yeah. It just feels like it was so public that how could it not be? You know?
Work? Yeah.
Vince didn't have to go out there to tell him to ring the bell.
He did not.
The referee could just have rung the bell. If it's really, if it's a Moolah and Wendy Richter situation, like that was serious.
That was a screw job.
But yeah, so Vince being out there to tell him to ring the bell, which puts all the heat on him. Come on now. Anyway, so,
and
yeah, Bret Hart leaves. Yeah.
And then he does like an interview on the TV on Raw where that's the Bret Screwed Bret interview. Like, you don't have to do that either.
Well, it's that's all
the work to get him over as the heel fucking, because there's no heels in the company. That's the work.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's
also
great.
It could be super real because, like, Bret was really committed to the bit for a really long motherfucking time.
Yeah, he's a bitter old man, so he can very much hold a grudge. But also, like, there were multiple times while he was gone that they were almost had an agreement to come back. 2002, 2006.
He did come back in 2000 for the Hall of Fame, right? 2006, 2004, whatever year that was.
So there was talks all through this time of bringing him back for whatever reasons. I don't know why they fell through, but I know that there was a chance.
If there's anybody in the wrestling business that's going to hold that kayfabe till the day they die and through it, it's Bret Hart and Vince.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Especially for how well it
was. And Taker.
Because it works so well. And everyone still 100% believes that that's really what happens, why we still talk about it, because it was a real moment, right? And that it's rare to have a real moment in wrestling. But what if there really isn't any real moments in wrestling, and this is another one where it's not? So
see, they're all the work. Or none of it is. Injuries are real. Nothing else is. Most injuries you don't even know about because that's how real they are.
That's right.
Anyhow, unless Tony Stark explodes her knee or Sid Vicious breaks his leg in half. You know?
Yeah, it's obvious. Or Ridge Holland. I know, still can't watch that one. Not the Big E, but the one where he broke his leg. Let's not talk about it.
Moving on. Tangent. That's random injury mania.
This is random mania. So we're here. So there's a buildup though.
That's the story, right? And then everything just builds off of that. So January 4th, 2010, Bret the Hitman Hart returns to host Monday Night Raw. This is in their big host phase where they had different random B celebrities with the occasional A celebrity. But you know, sometimes it's the cast of Jersey Shore, sometimes it's Kermit the Frog, sometimes it's Bob Barker, sometimes it's Hugh Jackman or something. You know what I mean? Like
sometimes it's William Shatner.
Sometimes it's William Shatner or Kevin Federline, but sometimes it's, you know, Jeremy Piven who calls it the Summerfest. You know, that's what we get. Jon Stewart. Anyhow, that
was
really
a fun as
happened.
well.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Bret Hart comes out, hugs HBK. They have the fakest, workiest hug in the middle of the ring ever because it's all work or none of it is.
What I liked about that segment, because I did actually watch that this morning, is there's so they go out and talk and they bury the hatchet and they call a truce. Right when Sean goes to leave, they shake hands. Sean goes to leave. He is totally in position to super kick him, and Brett's standing there like in position
You're
to
gonna
be
do
super
it.
kicked, and you think, is he gonna do it? And then he kind of twitches like he's going to, and then turns back towards him and gives him a hug. I was like, that was pretty good. That was pretty good. I wish he would have kicked him though. That'd have been even better.
That's the heel move, baby.
Yeah.
Just kick him. But speaking of heel
Yeah.
moves, we get it in a minute because Bret Hart and Vince McMahon hug it out.
Yeah.
And Vince
And
kicks
then
him in the
Vince kicks
dick.
him in the dick
Right
directly.
in the dick. Kicks him right in the dick.
He laughs about it, and yeah, he is. Brett screwed Brett, and Vince is going to screw Brett. And what did he do? He challenged him to a match
Yeah,
at
so Brett,
WrestleMania.
pronouns, pal, pronouns, pal. Bret Hart challenges Vince to a Manny match. Vince says no. Then all of
That's
a sudden,
right.
Bret Hart gets hit by a fucking car and he has a broken leg.
Yeah, he says, I guess this is goodbye. And he goes to leave and he gets hit by a car. And you can see that it broke his leg. So now he's on crutches. He's in an air cast and he can't wrestle. So now that he's limped and injured, Vince challenges him to a match at WrestleMania because he's obviously.
Somewhere in here too, Stu Hart gets announced for Hall of Fame, so that's kind of like a thing where Vince kind of is kind of using that like as like a thing over his head and shit too, I think, right? Isn't that a thing?
Hey, maybe.
Maybe not. I don't really remember. I wrote something down that says Stu Hart Hall of Fame thing. That must have been the thing. So yeah, the injury angle there. That's when Vince accepts the match. But oh, joke's on you. It's all a ruse. His leg's been fine the whole time. Ba-ba-bum.
Just wanted you to think that I couldn't compete. I'm 100%, he said. But he's not 100%. It's
Yeah.
not. We could talk about that too. So the fact that Bret Hart's even going to be threatening to have an in-ring match is ridiculous because this man's been
It's kind of
through
a
it the last
miracle.
10 years. So in 1999, he's wrestling Bill Goldberg at Starrcade, and he gets kicked in the fucking head so hard that he has like the worst, like massive concussion. Pretty much ends his career. That's the end of Bret Hart's in-ring career. He has a few spots here and there, but that's it. That's kind of that. So then he ends up at some point having a stroke. And he also has a bicycle accident somewhere in there. I don't know if those are related, but he had a lot of shit that really fucked up Bret Hart in the 10 years in
You believe the
between
bicycle
his.
accident led to the stroke?
Okay, that could be it.
Brain
So,
injury.
like, that sounds about right. So he had been through it, man, and you can tell when he's walking around, he ain't moving like a young man anymore. This is, 50-something-year-old, long retired Bret Hart. So it's good to see him, but he's not the same. So. What kind of match are we expecting out of Bret Hart anyway? I don't know, but I guess
That's
with
why
this
they make it a
wrestling.
street fight. Right, and that's why they make it a street fight, so you can have a lot of gaga and a lot of ha ha and a lot of blood and a lot of shit going on, which we will get to in a minute because holy fuck, there are 30 pounds of shit in a 5 pound bag rolling through this one. And if you're in the arena, you're confused as fuck. At least you got announcers at home explaining what the hell's going on. Because if you're in the arena and
Correct.
you don't know who the hell these people even are, this makes no sense to you, brother. You'd have to, I mean, you and I would get it. Nobody else in the fucking world, not even my wrestling friends, would know who the fuck these people are. You know what I'm saying?
The whole thing, once we get into it feels very short-sighted and cooked up quickly. But anyway,
Yeah,
so
forced.
yeah.
It looks forced. Anyway, so I will say this: so let's say, hey, we're here at WrestleMania. That's the build. The video package for this is pretty freaking cool. I thought it was pretty decent.
Yes, agreed. They did good
Laid the
videos of that.
whole story out.
They sure did. And
So yeah.
yeah. Watch that.
That's that. So yeah, Bret
So
Hart's all first with the iconic Bret Hart music.
this no, it's
And
not.
he's
It's some shitty new
well.
music.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of a weird hybrid-y thing because they were trying to
It's
make it
like a
kind of sound
new
like the Hart
version.
Legacy.
Yeah, it's some
Yeah,
new
instead of
version that
just
sucks.
should use the 96, 97 one. That's the best one, man.
Yeah. Stick to the OG. So anyway, he comes out to that, but he's clearly happy to be here. He is dressed for a fight.
Happy,
he's not
clearly happy to be here. I don't think he looks at the crowd once. He's a focus. I think he's supposed to be focused. He also looks like he's a little lost. But he's literally just in jean shorts, black jean shorts, black t-shirt, leather jacket, hair wet, glasses, boots.
Yeah.
Not even wrestling boots? Boots.
Maybe, but he's wearing knee pads. That's good.
He didn't have knee pads. Good for him. I don't know if he had elbow pads. That would track if he did. Old Brett would. This is old Brett. Is new Brett old Brett? Old Brett, new Brett. On headset, by the way, Michael Cole, Jerry King Lawler. Matt Stryker,
yeah.
Matt Stryker, the teacher.
What an era to be alive, huh? 2010.
Vince McMahon, WWE chairman, comes out next to the classic Vince McMahon music, and he looks pretty jacked.
He does.
I gotta tell you, if I saw these two guys in the alley, and you're like, these guys are going to fight for real, I'm like, holy shit, Vince is going to beat the fuck out of Bret Hart.
Yeah, give me the old guy. So he comes out, he's got his brandish... He's brandishing a microphone, and he goes ahead and addresses the crowd and says that he got himself some lumberjacks. He went and spent a little dough, maybe a lot of dough, he says, and I got myself some lumberjacks on my side, so come on out, everybody. And out walks Bret Hart's family. We got David Hart Smith, we got Natalia, we got TJ, who's known as Tyson Kidd.
That's my girlfriend. Shut up, Natalia.
Tyson? Anyway,
yeah, her name's Tyson. Her name's Tyson Kidd. That's crazy.
Tyson Kidd. Wow, even has a little flipped up hair thing too. Also, we get we get a little Bruce Hart. We get a Stu Hart lookalike. We got Mary Hart. We got
that's the chick from Entertainment Tonight.
Oh, as it is tonight.
Jimmy Hart. No, he wasn't there.
We do have Bruce Hart for sure. So, hey, Bruce.
We definitely have Bruce Hart and Smith Hart, I believe, is still alive at this point. No Keith. Didn't see Keith Hart.
No Keith Hart.
Maybe he was dead. So, a couple of them were dead by now, but I don't know which ones. Well, yeah. Owen.
Yeah. So there's an Owen for Hall of Fame 2011 sign out there. That didn't happen. But anyway.
It's Martha. Not Martha. What the fuck's her name?
Yeah.
Diana. Nope, wrong one.
Diana.
Is it Martha?
Princess Diana? Diana Hart?
Princess Diana! And more than lumberjacks, dude, Bruce Hart is a referee. He's got a referee shirt on underneath all that. And Bret Hart has the microphone. Go ahead.
And he says, is this how it's going to be? Is this what this? You guys are all in on the take? Is this how it's going to be? And the crowd is like just dead. They're not doing anything at this point. They have no idea what's going on. Bret cuts this bad promo.
This is the seventh match of the night, I think, by the way. Seventh match.
Yeah. He cuts this pretty mediocre promo about, I can't believe you guys. Well, we all stick together anyway. And so, I don't know. I couldn't really hear because then people started talking next to me. But he basically was said, like, we all stick together no matter what. And it's revealed that they're all just going to turn on Vince at this point. And they're with Bret without actually proving. Anyway, what did you think about that? You explain that.
Well, I fucking hated it because there's a much better way to do it. Have him turn mid-match, right? I think like one of them can help just like trip up Bret Hart's leg that doesn't hurt him, just to distract him. And then I think Vince should be laying into him for like 2-3 minutes and like just be a dickhead. Go after the leg, go after him. And then like at some point do like give a chair to D.H. Smith and give a chair to Tyson and be like, lay into him. And then they don't lay into him and they hit Vince instead. And then there's the reveal. And then all the Hart family comes in. They take licks on Vince. And that's how the match should fucking end. End of story. That's how it should have went. There's my fucking opinion.
Okay, that's how it should have went. But we were pretty clearly afterwards realized that Bret wasn't going to be doing any selling in this.
He ain't moving. He can't take a bump. Yeah.
So he does a lot of dropping down, giving the elbows and stuff. He does a lot of like his Bret signature elbows. He's throwing his signature punches. He is kind of moving like Bret. I was kind of surprised. I was like, well, his knees are in good shape.
Better than you would think based on, yeah, better than how you would think. Doesn't the Hart Dynasty kids go after? I think Smith Hart takes a shot.
Yeah, as soon as Vince goes out of the ring pretty quickly early in the match, the Hart Dynasty beat him up a little bit. Natty slaps the shit out of him. And then they do.
He does.
They do like a super heart attack from the top rope to the floor, and Vince takes a pretty hard bump.
That's right, on Vinnie Mac on the floor.
Yeah, from the top rope.
Yeah, that's a big thing. Yeah,
it's a pretty big spot.
Yeah, that's a big spot. I know at a certain point he does kind of work the leg for a while, but so how does Vince? Oh, so Vince had a pry bar or something, right? What the hell happened there?
He got sent under. He was trying to climb under the ring, and they were trying to pull him back out. This is the second time under the ring. And he came out with a crowbar, so they all backed off because they were scared of him standing with the crowbar looking like a crazy person. He gets in the ring. He loses the crowbar, and then Brett works him with the crowbar and just is beating him up with the crowbar. Then a chair gets introduced, and he gets thrown in, and Brett sits down because he's clearly fucking gassed. He's checking his watch as if he's saying, like, whenever you're ready to get up, I'm ready to beat you up some more. But if you look at his face, he is blown up.
He needs it. He needs it.
So, anyway, Vince starts to get up. He pulls up the chair, and he proceeds to work the living shit out of Vince McMahon with this chair. He is...
I think...
This is like Rock on Mankind if it was to the back instead of to the head.
I think... If it was not a work and all that shit was a fucking shoot, this was the proof. Because Vince, because Brett took out 13 years of motherfucking frustration on that man's back.
He sure did. And even when the chair was bent and mangled, he still kept hitting him. He
still hit him. Which is kind of how the match should end. I do like the end. And then because he just slaps on the sharpshooter, right? The sharpshooter. I don't know why I said it like that.
He teased the sharpshooter a lot. He teased the sharpshooter a bunch, but then he punched him in the nuts one time. He stomped him in the gut 100 times. He was just beating the living shit out of Vince McMahon. Beating Vince McMahon's ass, as they say. Whooping Vince McMahon's ass. I said it wrong.
Whooping his ass. But I'm pretty sure after all the chair shots, that's the actual sharpshooter.
Yes. And he taps immediately.
Yeah, and Vince taps out.
He leaves it out like he used to always 11
minutes.
That was my favorite part.
11 minutes and 9 seconds. He should have kept that sharpshooter on for like another minute and a half.
Yeah. He used to do that in his run. The bell would be over. He'd leave them in the sharpshooter much after the bell rang. A bit of a heelish thing.
Should have done it even longer because it's Vince.
Yeah, so he lets him go.
And somebody try to save him and then have the dynasty. He does let him go. Anyway, all the family's in and we're celebrating. It's happy, happy fucking hunky-dory. Yay. Brett's in the Hart dynasty, raising arms. And then the next night, he's the general manager of Monday Night Raw. So, yay, that's your follow-up.
Huh. That I did not know.
Yeah. And he also wrestles at SummerSlam.
Oh.
In like a 14-man tag match.
Oh, cool. So it's like I have
Nexus versus people.
I will say this is the first time I've ever watched this match. I've never seen it until
I was wondering.
Yeah, I had never seen it. I always wondered how this match went, and now I know. Oh, okay, he beats the living shit out of him for 10 minutes. Pretty good. A little bit of help, but it was cathartic if you were believing in the story and a Bret Hart fan.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because Vince has to get his comeuppance. He just has to, right? That's just how it works. That's wrestling. That's just how it works. Nobody in the world ever thought for a second that it wouldn't go any other way, I think, in this, because they also have to make Bret happy, because he don't give a fuck, and if he ain't happy, he'll walk. He don't want to be there anyway. He's just like, all right, I'm here.
He for the fans.
Anyway.
He's got fans.
For the fans.
And so, if nothing else, is to get out there and see everyone that has supported him no matter what. So, it really is a lot of people. So,
and it's closure, you know, as we stated. So, it is my turn to rate this shit first. I'm going to give it a half, one. Man, this has five. It's got a 5-story, brother. Of all the stories of any story, this is a 5. The quality of the match is a -5. But I'm going to go... But I don't want to go to 0, so I'm going to bump it up just because it is Bret Hart, because it is Vince. Half. 1.75. I'll go 1. I don't know. I think I like the Pat McAfee one better.
Yeah. Both of them involved. Well, that one had... That had less reason, though. Anyway, this one I'm going to give...
No, but it's more entertaining.
Yeah. Well, he's newer too. I'm gonna give this a 1 HPK. It is Bret Hart. It is nice to see Bret Hart in a wrestling ring when you never thought you'd see it again. A WWE ring specifically, when you never thought you'd see that shit again. But like you said, it is way too much crap shoved into one thing. The whole I bought your family, then they immediately turned on me thing was dumb. Like I don't know. I get it.
Yeah, or just don't even have him out there because they didn't do anything. There was no point to have him out there.
Yeah.
If they had done,
if they had already turned on him a week or two prior, maybe, like if that had, this shit had, like, I bought your family, yeah, like 2 weeks ago and they showed up and turned on you.
Yeah.
But this was so, like, it happened within the span of about 4 minutes. And it was like, that's weird. So they just shoved it all together. And it,
let's think about this, okay? Like, the Bret Hart return is January 4th. WrestleMania this night is March 28th. You couldn't fucking tell me.
You knew who was going to be
that there. In 11 weeks of TV or whatever they had, that they couldn't have done this shit already? They couldn't have had this already worked out?
Yeah. Unless they had limited appearances, I don't think so, because Bret was on TV like four times between there. So they could have done
a lot.
The whole story of the build-up. They can
still build it with Autumn. Vince is there every week.
It's funny because the whole story of the build-up was the Bret's injured, Bret's not injured thing, and they could have definitely mixed in a different... If they were going to do something like this, they could have mixed it in instead. But that's...
It's overbooked.
Overbooked.
It's overbooked.
Yeah, so...
There's enough story built. There's 13 years of buildup.
Yeah.
That's the story.
Yeah.
Why are you piling more things on?
Yeah. And I'm here for the rub that they're going to give to the Hart Dynasty because they got to be out there and now I know who they are.
Yeah. Big time.
So that's a plus out of all of it, but it is just a mess.
Fuck yeah. But Bruce Hart don't need no payday, man. No,
I know, man.
Like,
I know. Hair was perfect, though. Like, so 1 HPK hair, for me.
Well, that's it. What did he say when you saw him at that show on the Marquette? What did he kept saying? Chicken shit assholes?
Chicken shit assholes. Yep. He kept calling people chicken shit assholes. Yep. It was very funny. So, yeah. I was like, I saw him. Chicken shit assholes.
Chicken shit assholes. Anyhow. Yeah, it's not great. You don't have to watch this match. I wish it was... Because of the history, it should have been better. I don't really need to talk about it anymore. It's kind of is what it
is. I love Bret Hart.
You want to pick one for next time?
Well, I love Prime Bret Hart. Let's pick one for next time. Hey, why would we do that? Why do you?
Yeah, hurry? It doesn't. You know, it just kind of almost put a little sour taste in your mouth because you're like, oh no, that's the last time I saw Bret.
I think this
he does have another couple matches.
I have to tell you, I think that this is an inspiration to a lot of other wrestlers to never do this. You know what I mean? I don't want to be that guy who's out there who can't do it. That a lot of people say that, like, well, Bret did it. This is what it looks like. So, yeah. Good on you for not wanting to be that guy.
Fair way.
Yeah, and just end now. Because if you can't do it to your best, don't do it at all. But at the same time, it's fan service, right? Mm-hmm. Fuck, it's Bret Hart back in WWE for the first time. Like, it's cool. Regardless of how shitty it is, it's still cool to see, damn it.
It's Bret Hart coming back. Yeah.
So, so you can go.
We're going to pick a match. Wait, what?
Huh? I was going to tell people to head to Facebook and give us a like. You can interact with one or two of the moderators if you go over there. And it's a good time. And if you want to chat wrestling, that's where to do it. You can also head over to Instagram. Catch us at Randomania Pod over there. We'll tell you what match is coming and if there's a new episode out. And that's cool. And then also announcing, last time I threatened it, but it's true. We are on Spotify. If you're listening to us now on Spotify, oh, thank you. If you're listening to us now on Apple Music like you always have, oh, thank you. If you could just leave like a rating or 5 stars, or I heard you had to leave a comment on the episodes on Spotify for it to count towards the algorithm. So do that. And then we're slowly rolling out the oldest episodes that I have on file, the episodes from 2021, onto the YouTube channel that exists, Randomania Podcast on YouTube. There are 3 episodes that are 5 years old at this point up there, and I'm working on getting more. Now that that's out of the way, let's pick another match. You tell them about what we do for that.
Well done, sir. That was very good. Well done. That's your thing now. That's what you do. We're going to pick a match between 0 and 431 because, according to my records, there are 431 matches in the history of WrestleMania. If we get 0, we'll talk about it. Are you ready?
I am ready.
149. What'd you say?
I said 149.
It is 297.
297. We've had that one. 297 is AJ and Paige versus the Bellas from WrestleMania 31. Cool.
Silence was so fucking golden because it was that moment of like, do we do another one?
We can do one.
Just do one match?
Yeah.
Or do one more?
Okay, let's see what we get. If it fits in, you know, if it fits.
It's going to be another new one. 347.
347. Those are never short. 347 is Morrison versus Kofi versus Jimmy Uso.
COVID Mania.
Well, we can knock it out.
All right, let's do both those matches. That's
fine. I have no idea why that match happens. Is it for a title?
Yes. For the tag titles! But people were hurt and got sick and had COVID, so they had to, like, remove partners from the match.
Oh, my God. All right, we'll talk about it. All right, so we got some 2015 and some 2020 action coming at you.
We would have seen the first match. That's WrestleMania 31, yep. I believe. We would have watched that together live in Nash, Vegas while it was airing on the West Coast, right? Yep.
This is it's crammed right between the Triple H Sting thing and the Rusev Cena with the tank. So, you know, it's a good time to take a leak.
Corn match. So, yeah, probably a good time we did two things here. So, another two for next time. We'll try not to take twice as long to get it to you.
Let's see what happens.
That's next time. I think this one.
I do believe this one is over, and I want to congratulate once.
Turn out the lights. The fight is over. I wish we could find that slick clip.
I know.
Maybe he's got a clip of the Doctor of Style Slick saying that, which we know he said. We've heard it. It's where we got it.
What event is it from?
I feel like it's from one of the main.
Mania 5.
I always thought it was WrestleMania 5 at the end of the Towers Rockers match.
But that's just. That's just Gorilla saying, forget it. It's over. And it is.
So it can't be. SummerSlam?
It must be. I don't know. It's an Akeem match, I'm pretty sure. But
It's all good. Fuck that. We'll talk about that during random.
But I want to congratulate Bret the Hitman Hart on winning another match at WrestleMania. You probably have a pretty damn good WrestleMania record, to be honest. I don't know how many times you lost at WrestleMania. But... You win here.
It's at four.
Yeah. Lost at four.
You lost at two.
Oh, is that two, hey? Wasn't that three, though?
I think you lost at three.
Is that three?
Yeah, I think you lost at three. Yeah, six man with Danny Davis.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Let's not do that. So I want to congratulate you for winning at WrestleMania 26 live from Phoenix, actually, Glendale. But unfortunately, Vince McMahon, fired.
You're fired, motherfucker. How you like that shit? Yeah. Removed from your position on the board. Play the good, Bret Hart.
I'll play the good one.
Play the good music, not the shit right. music. See you next time.
Bye. What did you think when Bret Hart came back in 2010?
I think it was the best day ever. I relive it in my dreams all the time.